And we come to our two readings. One of them is taken from Isaiah 49, verses 1 to 7. And the second reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. And as I said, let's just have a few moments silence between each reading, about 20 seconds. And then let's have a bit of silence after the second reading to think and reflect upon God's word and how it can affect us today, and what does it mean to us?
It's entitled The Servant's Mission. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, "Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him? For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves, because the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." Amen.
Letter from Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of our God and our brother Sosthenes. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sacrificed in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord, their Lord, and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Yeah.
I'd like just to give a slight introduction to, sort of like, just set the scene for these verses that we have read. The title of the chapter in Isaiah is The Servant of the Lord. But this is actually part of about four chapters. But if you go back to chapter 42 in Isaiah, it also has the title The Servant of the Lord. And what it's kind of like saying is that sometimes we read the passages, but it's also good to read the passages around the verses that we have heard. So then we have a greater context of what actually the words are meaning. And in the chapter 42 it says this: Here is my servant who I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out, or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. You see, when you start reading the verses, then start linking them together, you sort of like have a bigger picture about who is this servant of the Lord and what the work that this servant would actually do. And obviously, it's easy looking back in hindsight now that say, oh, well, we know who the servant of the Lord is. That's Jesus. But Jesus also, when he came, he taught his disciples for about 3 years in the ministry of the kingdom of God. He didn't come to say, right, be good, be nice, alone. What he did was actually sort of says, right, I'm here to talk about justice. A word that is, I think, on the lips of a lot of people. You look around the world, where is justice? Syria. If that's a just place, then I would question your definition of what you think justice is. What's happening to us over in here with Brexit? The hatred that was stirred up by a simple decision. Where's justice in that? Where's justice around us? And so when you look at some of these themes that the Bible talks about, you know, they're not new. There is, as the verse says, there is nothing new under heaven. We are not the first nation, or the first people, or the first generation to struggle with these words about what does it mean to be a Christian today. And when you look at the passages in Paul from the Corinthians, he's kind of like looking back a little bit to what the servant Jesus has done. And Jesus sort of like says to his followers, you too will be my hands and feet in the world today. I will anoint you with the Holy Spirit, which came at Pentecost. And Paul just says, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift, as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. But what are these gifts? Evangelism, healing, are two of them. Administration is a gift of the Holy Spirit. My mouth fell on the floor when I read that about a couple of years ago, but somebody pointed out that administration is a gift from God. Because when the body of Christ starts developing gifts, you need somebody to coordinate it. It's not just always the minister who is the administrator, not always the minister who is the evangelist or the healer. A minister could be a facilitator for the other gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy. Speaking in tongues. Singing in tongues. These are all gifts given by God to us, his servants, to help us in our ministry. I always like the example, if you took your car to a mechanic and said, I want the wheel changed, and you saw the mechanic trying to take the wheel nuts off with his fingers, I don't think you'll go back again. You see, the Holy Spirit is here amongst us. But do we actually connect up with the Holy Spirit? Do we actually know his function? One of my friends went and spoke to a lady in a church, and she spoke about things of the Holy Spirit. And this lady turned around and said to her, I've been in the church 30 years and I've never heard such twaddle in my life. You know, the fact that she's speaking about the Holy Spirit, not just about what the Holy Spirit can do. And I just thought, how many times have you said the Creed? Because she was a good Anglican lady. You know, the Creed in the Anglican Church is said most Sundays. I believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the... Well, we don't believe that bit. You know, we believe in a triune God. But these gifts are here to help us. There are sometimes people who go over the top in the ministries with these gifts and become self-important. But the gifts are here to strengthen our church and our faith. They are there to serve, not lord it over. Anybody who comes in with a prideful attitude with their spiritual gift, just say, stop. You're here to serve, not be the Lord. The greatest gift that I think that people can have is the gift of a smile and a kind word. Mm-hmm. I bet more people would miss the coffee after a service than the minister preaching. I know I would most of the time, and I'm a preacher, you know, sometimes I think, if there's not a coffee here, but no, acts of service are not unimportant. I know sometimes we don't appreciate the people who do these kind gifts, kind acts, but this is where the level of the kingdom of God comes in. It's being grateful, gracious to people around us. They don't have to be big things, but when we are in difficulty, someone coming and putting their arms around us will speak more to us than ever words. I think Francis of Assisi says, go out into the world and evangelize, and when necessary, use words. It's a combination of who we are, meeting what we do. And when people see this, you'd be surprised, I think, what happens. Yesterday, I'm a caretaker of Central Methodist Church, and one of the groups that uses is a ladies' organisation called Kira. And one of the ladies, who I know very well, came in the front of the church, and I said to her, would you like just to come through the front door rather than going through the side? And she says, oh yeah, sure, that's nice, Ian, thank you. Would you like to meet a friend of mine? And this gentleman shook his hands, and I don't know why he did this. I could be God, could be anything. I just sort of says, but what do you do? And he sort of says, I make springs. Now, where's the connection between Ian Atherton and springs? He made springs for railway carriages. I'm a coach builder. I was trained as an apprenticeship at the carriage works. All of a sudden, there's that connection between us. As I said, oh, I used to work at the carriage works building railway coaches. And all of a sudden, for about 2-3 minutes, we had a real laugh about how you treat apprentices. Go for the skyhooks. Go for the long stand. bubble for the spirit level. We have such a laugh for about 2 to 3 minutes, then Anne dragged him away. But that, I think that was a God encounter.
Yeah.
Where I didn't use spiritual words, I was just friendly. And I think this is where, as Christians, simply being nice to people is sometimes the start of evangelism. A smile from one of us. It's surprising, I walk through the city centre and there is so many miserable people. I like smiling at people and they smile back sometimes. But I think that's a little bit of evangelism. You don't have to stand on street corners shouting, "Thus saith the Lord unto you, you sinners, repent, repent, repent." That type of evangelism is far gone. The evangelism of today is building communities, building relationships. And that's what Christ was all about. Primarily building relationships between the individual and his Father God, but also with each other. It's not that we agree with everybody, but love can actually overcome a lot of barriers if that love we allow into our hearts first. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about in the second talk, for about 5-10 minutes, but then give us an opportunity in silence just to come and ask the Spirit to fill us again. Because I think it's always important. Paul says in one of his letters, be filled with the Spirit. And the context of the Greek is always being filled. As I say, it's a car image. You fill it up with petrol, you drive around, you fill it up again. As Christians, we do that with the Holy Spirit. We fill ourselves up by inviting the Holy Spirit to fill us. We create space by repenting our sins, by being healed, by being restored. The servant of the Lord, we are that servant. We are you, me. Anybody who professes to be a Christian, we are servants of the Lord. Within each one of us is the ability that Christ had, believe it or not. But do we put that faith into practice? You see, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has many functions. If you ladies feel you can multitask, you've got nothing on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can multitask in ways that he wants to surprise us, in the way that he wants to work in us and through us. The servant of the Lord isn't always about doing things. It's about being as well with God. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to work inside us first, changing our hearts, our attitudes, our minds, our concepts. Spending time with God. The Bible calls it becoming holy. And holy in the Bible has sort of like two major meanings. It's set apart from the world for God's purpose. And also holy means without sin. And so when you dovetail these two little understandings together, we have been set apart for God's purpose to be sinless. And it's in that relationship with God, because only the Holy Spirit working in us. And as I've got older and longer in tooth with God, I find it more and more frustrating, because I think I'm getting really nice and holy and pious, and all of a sudden when I'm vacuuming the carpet at Central, it gets nagged and I've got to go that last 6 foot of the carpet, and I know the lead will reach and it snags, and what on earth am I doing? I have to go all the way back, unsnag it all, and it's kind of like, like Dick Dastley's dog Mutley, muttering under his breath, going ratty, 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 ratty. Why can't I just do this? And this is a sign of that I need God's forgiveness and healing and restoration. How many of us have been in that same boat? Yeah, we're all there. You see, it's not rocket science Christianity. All it is coming to the God who loves us passionately, who wants the best for us, and says, ask us a question. Is this really glorifying me? Do you really want this in your heart? And as we go through life, we discover what our hearts and attitudes are like. As I say, I thought I was pretty holy, then I got married. Right. I would have been married 15 years. I thought I was a patient person. Right. I've learned a lot about myself in 15 years. Some of it I haven't liked in the slightest. And sometimes people think, oh, God's this nice, gentlemanly, nice thing that will just be nice to you. Actually, sometimes God asks of us some very hard questions. To forgive somebody who's hurt us badly. To let go of some emotional hurt. I think that one of the things about mental issue is that people don't have anybody to talk to. To share. You know, there's a huge thing going on at the moment with mental issue and mindfulness that talk about it. And I think this is where the Christian church can offer a listening ear to yourselves and to each other. We're not professionals, and it's actually understanding when if somebody wants to listen or wants to share. We don't have any answers on one level. We can only point to the God who brings comfort to people in their darkest hours. But if we don't believe that, then we won't offer it. If we don't understand that God's with us in our darkest hours, and how nice it would have been sometimes to have somebody who we could cry on or go share our burden with, then somebody else will feel the same as well. What we go through, everybody else will go through at some time in their lives as well. We are not unique in our pain and our suffering. And that's one of the lies that we sometimes get into. Not everybody will be sympathetic, but look upon your own life and how you've wanted God and other people to treat you. And go out and do the same to others. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Because as we become holy, actually things stop worrying you as much. Does it matter if they believe this or believe that? You actually see the person who was created by God in his image. And you want to love that person for who they are. It doesn't mean that you will agree with them. There's certain issues that I don't agree with people. But that doesn't stop me from actually being friendly to them. I'd rather be friendly and keep my mouth shut than open my mouth and cause trouble. Tell the truth. It says tell the truth in love. And in love means that you have patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all the fruits of the Spirit working in us, so that they come out. Having compassion is a great gift that you can show people. There's a lady called Renee Parker, who some of you may know or may not know. If you've never heard of her, she was, to me, was one of the most spiritual ladies I knew, because what she did was she listened. There's about 15 or 20 of angst teenagers who will always give thanks to God for what really did for us, and simply by listening, opening her house up, giving us a coffee, wagging a finger under my nose when I said something really stupid, and telling me off. It's all of this, the servants of the Lord. We're not pure, we're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but we have an aim to be like that, to understand our own frailties will help us understand other people's frailties. And the Holy Spirit is there, and the gifting is all open to us if we ask. You see, the church has a mission to go into the world to preach whatever way that word means to us. You know, it's not standing up in a pulpit context, but the whole wide scope of what that word means to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age. God will be with his chosen vessel, his holy vessel, to the end of the age, where God just says, right, it's time to start again, and I will renew heaven and earth. But until then, heaven can come through us. When we say the Lord's Prayer, we say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God's will is fulfilled through each one of us, if we allow it, if we read from his book and apply the lessons into our hearts. We are the servants of the Lord. If you read a lot of the parables that Jesus said, he commends the good servant and doesn't commend the bad servant. What type of servant are we? Are we a good one that obeys God, or a bad servant that just does our own thing? A lot of the parables are very... I look at the most simplest message that they have. I don't like complicating things of God. I just think, keep it simple. I think it's like acronyms, KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. I apply that to myself. Keep the gospel message simple. Don't complicate it. Don't use big words. Use simple words. Language that you understand. Language that people understand who you meet. Now, you don't have to use such words like existentialism, transubstantiation. My goodness, I can't even write them words, let alone understand them. But if we say, let's walk through this pain together, hand in hand, arm in arm, that's a language that people understand. And that will touch people. It may not make them a Christian or believe in God, but it will go a long way for God's kingdom to come here in Easing World and in our own communities where we find ourselves. I encourage you, look at your heart and your mind. Allow the Holy Spirit to work inside you. And become the best servant of the Lord that you can, where you find yourself. I know most of us are probably... I'm not retired yet, but I've got a few more years to go. But what communities are we in? You don't have to sort of, like, as I say, stand on a soapbox and scream and shout that God loves you. You can do it by very simple demonstrations. But sometimes our pride comes in, and we have to get rid of that pride. You know, I have to clean toilets, and somebody sort of says, oh, that's an awful job. And I sort of says, it's nothing. Because I've had to do so many disgusting jobs in my life that cleaning a toilet is actually quite easy now. And I think that's like a spiritual growth. If we find that we can do things without any attention, without any fanfare, we will do other jobs equally as well. As I say, we're here to serve one another, not lord it over people. We're here to humbly support, offer our gifts to people, and you'd be surprised how it ripples out. My last story, I may have said this before, when I was at the railway, one of the gentlemen had a tuck shop. He shouldn't have, actually, because he had it in a box and he sold Mars bars and crisps. And I went and asked him if I could get a Mars bar. And he sort of suggested it's on the coach over there, Ian. And I then walked away, and I got about 6 foot from the coach, from the where he had spoken. And all of a sudden I heard him say, "I trust that lad with my wallet." Somebody must have asked him, "How can you send that somebody to get your tuck box and actually pay for it?" And my life story was such impressionable upon him that he knew that what I said I would do. And that is such a compliment. I walked on water at that point. I could have walked on air. And because to get a compliment like that from somebody off the shop floor, it said I was doing something right. But that was something like 4 to 5 years' work of being honest and having integrity in who I am. And this is what God calls us to be. Have integrity. What you say is what you do. And that will only happen if we allow the Holy Spirit to come inside us. Anoint us, fill us, whatever words you want to use. But if we want to be faithful servants of the Lord, learn what we're supposed to do. Learn how we're supposed to do it. And let's go and do it in our own little work, in our own lives, with our families and our close communities that we work in. And you will be surprised, as I say, in about 2 to 3 years, a garden doesn't grow in a day. It grows over many years. And that's the message to the church. If you go planting seeds in people's lives, there will be a harvest. It might not be for a few years, it might not be for 10 years, but if we do not plant the seeds today, then we will not have the garden tomorrow. And that is the challenge of all congregations. It's not just us, it's across the whole Christianity and Christendom. That if we plant the seeds today, then there will be a garden tomorrow. If we just plant weeds, we'll just have weeds tomorrow. In fact, you'll probably find weeds grow on the same day. That's my experience. But I'd like to give you a moment just to think about what I've said. And then we'll sing another song, Call to Be Disciples. If you don't know the lyrics, it's the tune to Ode to Joy. So hopefully the tune will be available. And then after this song, we'll go into prayers. And again, I don't really want to talk a lot. I'll just say, let's pray for the troubles of the world. And let us pray for the troubles that we know, whether they are close to us or out in the world. And there'll be like 3 or 4 little sentences, and then we'll finish with the Lord's Prayer. But let's have a moment's silence to think about, how can I be a better servant of the Lord?